Rachel and Daniela. Mr. Brown, we're turning a piano player, a violin player, and a clarinet player over to you for next year. You already have Hillary, so. I admire the people that get up here that are calm, cool, and collected. My heart, can you see it? I wanted to tell you one thing, and it wasn't on my list here to talk about, but Audie talked about talking with the Muslim lady in her classroom this past week. That was a two-hour conversation. And what Audie also doesn't know, here we go already, there are six other Muslims looking at us for next year as well as the four that are probably coming. So, not counting them yet, but going to happen. Mr. Brown and I are always feel honored to be able to talk about our schools because we are so proud to be associated with our schools. And so sit back today and just enjoy. I know you've had lots of information, lots of good words today, and hopefully we can continue that a little bit this morning, but it's our honor to be here. The challenge today is to, our two speeches are sort of separate, even though we work very well together. And I'm excited about some of the things that he's going to talk about today. I'm going to be excited to see how he presents that, and it's just going to be exciting to hear that. Mine's a little different. I have some things I want to share with you, and I want you to get a flavor for what's going on at our school, both the blessings and the challenges at the school. And before I do that, I want to see if I can relax a little bit more by telling you a story. Each fall and each spring, Mr. Brown and I and the other principals and superintendents gather at what's called the Fall Education Council and the Spring Education Council. These are three-day meetings. They're really exciting, as you can imagine, but necessary, because that's where we catch up on all of the legal stuff and all of the why is our enrollment down and why are our test scores as they are, whatever. So they may not be as exciting as some other things that we do, but they're necessary. And they're three-day meetings. The fall one usually happens at the union office down in Thousand Oaks. And the spring one, we go somewhere else in the union. And a couple years ago, we went to Phoenix, Arizona. And another good thing about these meetings is that we get top-notch people there. Our leadership in the conference is great. Our leadership at the union is fantastic as well. And they bring in fantastic people to make presentations to us. And those presentations each time include the worships that we have every morning in this 3 days that we're there. Fantastic worship leaders that really, really inspire us. And the one year, a couple years ago, we were in Phoenix, and the speaker was Dan Smith. Now, I don't know how many of you know Dan Smith. He's the pastor of the La Sierra University Church. I knew him because as I was leaving Hinsdale, Illinois to come to California, he was coming to the Hinsdale Church. When Doug was at Hinsdale, he and Dan Smith worked together a lot, so we kind of knew this gentleman. He's great for telling stories. Now listen to me closely, because I'm trying to justify this story in a church setting. The story is told by a pastor in a worship situation. That makes it okay, right? I didn't get everybody on that one, but anyway. Talks about a college student who's taking an ornithology class. How many of you know what an ornithology class studies? Say it out loud. Birds, thank you. All right. He was at registration day. The college student was at registration day, and he registered for his class, and he had heard that this was a tough class, this ornithology class. So he thought when he got done with registration, he would go up and meet the teacher and look at the classroom. So he did that. He went up to the classroom, and sure enough, the teacher was there, and he got to meet the teacher. He introduced himself as a student in his class, and he met the teacher, and he says, "But I'm concerned, Professor. Because as I walk in the room, I see all these pictures of bird legs on the wall." And he said, 37 bird legs, pictures of 37 bird legs on the wall. "What's up?" The professor says, "By the end of the class, you'll be able to identify the bird by the bird legs." The student says, "You're kidding." He says, "No, that's what's going to happen." "Well, all those bird legs look the same to me," he said. "Well, they do now, but by the end of the class, you will understand. You will be able to identify the bird by the bird legs." "No way. They all look exactly the same to me right now, these 37 pictures on the wall." He says, "I can't do it." He says, "If you can't do it, you get an F in the class." because the student said, because I get it, I can't identify those 37 birds by those bird legs look all the same to me, I'm going to get an F in the class. And the teacher said, yes, that's the way it's going to be. Student says, I guess I'll take the F. Professor says, okay, well, what's your name? Says, you want to know my name? He pulled up his pant leg and said, you tell me. Beside all that, now our goal today is to give you blessings from the Lodi Seventh-day Adventist Elementary School and the Academy as well, and to assure you that the Lord is working in our schools. What is education? What better source to go to than Mrs. White? On page 13 of the book Education, she says, true education means more than the pursual of a certain course of study. She's saying it's more than learning 37 birds by their bird legs, but anyway, I'll start over again on that. Page 13, true education means more than the pursual of a certain course of study. It means more than a preparation for the life that is now. It has to do with the whole being and with the whole period of existence possible to man. It is the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers. Education prepares the student for the joy of service in this world and for the higher joy of wider service in the world to come. Pretty powerful words. She continues on page 19 with a statement that says, education provides more than the mental discipline. It provides more than the physical training. It strengthens the character so that truth and uprightness are not sacrificed to selfish desires or worldly ambition. It fortifies the mind against evil. Fortifies the mind against evil. Wow. Instead of some master passion becoming a power to destroy, every motive and desire are brought into conformity to the great principles of right. As the perfection of his character is dwelt upon, the mind is renewed and the soul is recreated in the image of God. As the perfection of his character is dwelt upon. Wow, those are beautiful words, but what do they mean to those that are involved? I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about what Adventist education means to those involved, and hopefully it will have an effect on you. I'm going to read some lists here, and sometimes that can be a little bit boring, but I want you to remember each and every one of them. I'd like you to get a flavor for what's being said. About a year ago, we gave a survey to the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And they were asked two questions. They were given a sheet of paper with the questions on it. They didn't know what they were writing for or who they were writing for. And if you were one of those students, don't worry, I'm not going to quote you today. But the questions concerned, number one, what do you think a quality Christian education is? And number two, do you think you are receiving a quality Christian education at Lodi Seventh-day Adventist Elementary School? These are their words, not made up, not changed by me in any way whatsoever, but these are the words of the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. A quality Christian education is an education which incorporates Christ into our school and our daily lives. Another student said, a quality Christian education is when you are taught the basic classes you need and show how they correspond to Christ and being in a good Christian environment while building that faith. It's an education in which you can learn about God and get a proper education at the same time. Learn about God, proper education. I like that. I think it should teach us, the student said, to see God in everything we do, whether it be sports, reading, or other parts of education. We should be taught to see God in everything we do every day. An education, a quality Christian education, is where you don't have to listen to swearing, where you actually have nice things, where you have an outlook on life that helps you make good decisions. A quality Christian education is knowing God better and better, and knowing that God loves you is where everything should be, it's where everything should tie into Christianity. And finally, a final statement about what a quality Christian education is. It's an environment in which young people can be taught the way of the Lord, where one could learn not just science and math, but lessons for life, where you're not just taught how to be a child of God, but are treated like one. Question two is, do you think you're receiving a quality Christian education at Lodi Seventh-day Adventist Elementary School? One student said, yes, because over here, yes, because life over here makes it easier. Teachers want you to share thoughts, and they want you to get in help on the assignments when you need it. They want you to have a good education and good grades. They tell you about the love of Jesus. Another student writes, yes, this school has enriched my relationship with God. I can talk about my beliefs without being ridiculed because many others think the same. Yes, all of my classes have a Bible class, and even the younger kids are learning each day more and more about their Savior. They learn how to show other people what good Christian qualities are and how they can help some of their friends become better Christians. Yes, because I think that going to a private school allows you to have a better relationship with teachers, and they can help you religiously in Christ by their actions. Yes, I feel that this school has given me an opportunity and a place to become closer to God in a way people from other schools might not have. I really appreciate my parents for sending me, because I feel that if I went to another school, my relationship with Christ would have been severed. This one might bring a smile to your face, but it's the thought that this student had. Do you think you're receiving a quality Christian education? He said, sometimes, and sometimes not, because the work is so hard, sometimes it takes me away from God, and some work is easy, and that brings me closer to God. And then one last one. Yes, quality Christian education, because in every class, one way or another, we speak about God and or Jesus, and that just gives me more faith. Similar to polling the students for their thoughts on Adventist education, we also asked the faculty and staff at the Lodi SDA Elementary School to respond to two questions. What are the challenges we face at our school and Adventist education in general? And what are some of the blessings of an education at Lodi Seventh-day Adventist Elementary School and Adventist education in general? You might find some of these thoughts interesting. Remember, just get a flavor as I read quickly through the list. Challenges facing Christian education from the faculty and staff. The pressure to conform to the expectations and lifestyle that leads us away from Christ. Lukewarmness will destroy us. Lack of cohesiveness among churches, parents, and board members. Getting more of our church members' children in our schools. The challenges go on with teaching Christian values in today's society. Huge challenge. Sharing the good news of Jesus to non-Adventist families. We spent some time on that today, didn't we? Of course, the ever-present funding and fundraising is a challenge. Another faculty member said, our biggest challenge is to make sure that these students not only learn about their Creator, but are helped to develop a relationship with Him. Our job is to prepare our students to be able to live in this world without becoming lost to the world. Challenge not being open-minded toward many issues, lack of goals and vision, uplifting Christ and SDA beliefs in the students' minds, the challenge daily. Teaching students with special learning needs. We don't have the staff, we don't have the money to have the kids with special learning disabilities. We have some with mild learning disabilities, but we can't reach out to the special, the more severe ones, and that's a challenge for us. Staying on the cutting edge of education and still keep our Adventist beliefs and values in focus. Can our schools keep our distinctiveness? I like that word, distinctiveness. Teaching students to really think. Another challenge is to keep our curriculum Christ-centered so that students see how Jesus figures into every facet of our lives as well as their studies. Parents' expectation of our schools to fix or reform their children. That's a whole sermon in itself, I think. Convincing parents that our curriculum and strategies are a cut above and well worth the financial investment. A little bit longer one says, families straying from traditional Adventist beliefs such as church attendance, family worship, health principles, Sabbath observance. If principles are not important, neither is paying for education that promotes them. Or are they at our schools because they can afford it and just want a school that is superior to other schools? We get no value support from homes with these types of families. Getting close to the end, I'm going to share the blessings that the faculty and staff felt we have. We have a strong SDA community that backs the goals and quality of our education program. We have exceptional parent and church volunteerism, a top-notch physical plant with an experienced teaching staff. We are continue to be blessed with providing opportunity for Christian friends at our school. The presence of God is at our schools. Knowing those at our schools are prayed for every day, I appreciate that. We get notes from church members from the different churches, and that they're praying, and that they're always with us in the prayer. That's so important. Knowing that students are being taught by teachers who have the same beliefs and values as the home, pastors can interact with students in various venues. We are so blessed by the churches that serve our schools that the pastors are on campus and working with our kids in so many ways, so many ways. A praying faculty and staff. Every morning we start with worship, and you probably take that, probably know that, and we don't take it for granted. We pray, we worship together, we pray for the students, we pray for the school, we pray for ourselves to be good models of what Jesus would like us to be doing. Generally, good rapport among teachers and parents. Teachers can talk freely about Jesus. The spiritual and academic components are strong. An atmosphere of acceptance of all students. The blessings continue with caring, loving, and a spiritual environment. Academically, our schools care more about a child reaching their potential than if they can achieve on a state-mandated test. Students are trained in four aspects of life: physical, mental, spiritual, and social. And the last blessing that I have listed today is our schools get to help build in the students a fire and passion for Christ's love that they will hopefully share with others and have the rest of their lives. George Vandeman was a friend of mine, and that dates me. How many of you know George or heard of George Vandeman? Yeah. George Vandeman became a friend when my wife and I and the kids became Adventists in the early 80s. We didn't know at the time who this man was, but we learned very quickly. When my family, I was baptized in the early 80s, he happened to be in attendance at the little church in Illinois where I was baptized. Presented this Bible to me on that day, and it's been very special. 3 years later, when I joined the Adventist school system, I was teaching and principaling at the Aurora SDA Elementary School, Aurora, Illinois, which is the elementary school for Broadview Academy, the academy in Illinois. And I had the nerve to ask George Vandeman to come and speak to our 9 graduates. He said yes, and he came. And he said something then, and as new as I was to Adventist education, it really struck me at the time, and I've thought about it ever since then. He told these kids, the 9 graduates, that if they're graduating and attending a Seventh-day Adventist school, they have the mark of the best. The mark of the best. I didn't know it at the time, but now after 30 years in Adventist education, I know what that means. To change the road here a little bit, Dr. William James from California State University at Long Beach spoke at a national press club in Washington, D.C. a year or so ago. His study, among other things, studied 5 components important in a school: school atmosphere, racial harmony, level of school discipline, school violence, and the amount of homework done. The results of Dr. James' study show that religious schools outperform non-religious schools in all 5 of those categories. In another aspect of Dr. Jane's study, he found that religious school students enjoyed an advantage over public school students in 3 key areas of learning habits most strongly related to academic achievement. Religious school students took harder courses, showed more diligence, and had better overall work habits. Dr. Jane's also found that religious school students achieved better because of parent involvement, intact families, and caring teachers. Now, this is a non-Adventist study, and it shows advantages gained because of attending a religious school from kindergarten through college. Well, what about students, what about studies relating to the growth of our students in Adventist schools? For the past 10 to 15 years, you've heard of a major study measuring the spiritual commitment of our students in the North American Division that has been taking place, like I say, for the last 10 to 15 years. This is an ongoing study called Value Genesis. It's been joined by another major study called Cognitive Genesis. Cognitive Genesis measures the quality of Adventist academics. Remember last year we had Dr. Bailey Gillespie with a big church service at the academy, and all the churches closed, and we went over there to hear him talk. This is what he was talking about. The 3-year study, which began in 2006, is showing that Adventist education quality is as strong or stronger than the other schools around us. The study is also showing that we are meeting national standards and can predict strong academic outcomes for students who go through our system. From this study, our school will also be addressing any of the challenges that show up as well. What a powerful study. Relating to the results of this research and the strength of Adventist academics, an associate superintendent for the Northern California Conference said this: "Since the study allows us to compare students' potential with their actual test scores, we are pleased to announce that Northern California Conference averages show that our students are performing significantly above what they would be expected to accomplish. One explanation could be that our students in our schools are working hard to learn. Congratulations to our kids. Number two, another reason could be that we have excellent teachers. Even bigger congratulations to our teachers. And the third reason that she listed, another and I believe the main reason, is that God is blessing our schools. After all, these are His kids. Praise God. Yes, we have many challenges in Adventist education. We have touched on some of those today. But the blessings of Seventh-day Adventist education far outweigh the challenges. My hope today is that you are more aware of some of the aspects of Adventist education and that you will pray or continue to pray for our schools. I could not work at our schools if I didn't firmly believe that our schools have the mark of the best.
We're in the ninth inning. It's the bottom of the ninth. The score is tied, and we're going into extra innings. I'm glad for those of you who caught that. We really enjoy working together. I want to touch on a few quick points, try and make these cliff notes short and sweet. The scripture reading that was shared, I'm going to just key in on one factor at that point, but I've got a sermon brewing there as I read this over the last couple of weeks that was really powerful to me. And that is the fact that when Jacob is running for his life, has deceived his father, disassociated himself from his family because of that, and is fleeing for his life, he has a dream. And in that dream, he finds out that he has not left God, and God has not left him. In fact, out there in the desert, as he sleeps that night, he has this dream, and in this dream, he sees the Lord, who says to him several things. I will be with you. That's good news. I will protect you. That's even better news when he's fleeing for his life. I will bring you back to this land. That's good news when he's leaving his family. I will be with you constantly until I finish giving you all the promises I have given. Jacob, you see, met God that night. And he wakes up and he said, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. And he said, this is the gateway to heaven. And then he makes God a promise. If you will take care of me, if you will be good to your promises and everything else, he ends up, I will make you my God. I want to suggest to you this morning that that's what Adventist education is about. And I believe that our schools are the gateway to heaven because they are the place where young people learn to hear God's voice. And they didn't even know they would find him there. And God promises them all of these things, and as they study and realize that, they come to the place where they say, if God is going to be that way for me, then I will commit my life to him. That's what Adventist education is about. But we have challenges. I'm going to share the burden of my heart, the one that I've carried the heaviest the last few days. About a week ago, I heard from three families who said, the cost is too much, we cannot come back. I talked with a family yesterday, and they are thinking the same thing. The finances are too much, the bill is too high, we can't afford it. And so my struggle at that point is to plead with God and say, God, this is your church, these are your kids, this is your school, provide. And so if God touches your heart and you feel inclined to provide, for Adventist young people to have the advantage of Adventist education, let us know. Two stories, quickly. A senior walked up to me when nobody else was around, kind of unusual, and we were out of ways from everybody, and he said to me this, Mr. Brown, I want to thank you for the opportunity of coming to Lodi Academy. Because, as I was aware, he had been going to an afternoon class after school for a couple of weeks towards the end of the week. He said, every day I go to this class, I am offered drugs. And he said, if I had not gone to Lodi Academy and learned what I have learned there, he said, I'm sure I would have screwed my life up badly. But he said, because I've been to Lodi Academy and learned the things I have, he said, it hasn't bothered me and I've been able to say no. And I'm thankful for that story. The second one happened this past Tuesday. I got a call from my boss, our superintendent, Barrett Von Poli. She said, I was just up at Redwood Camp Meeting, and she said, a lady walked up to me and told me this story. She lives in Shelton, Washington, and a year ago, she had the doorbell ring, and she came to the door, and there were two Mormon missionaries there. And she said, immediately when I opened the door, it began to go through my mind, how can I get rid of these guys? But they struck up conversation, and as the conversation proceeded, it came out in their discussion, dialogue back and forth, that they had both been to Christian schools. And Kathy Ramsey, who graduated from Lodi Academy in 1965, found out that one of these Mormon missionaries had also graduated from Lodi Academy in 2003. And he proceeded to take time and talk with her about the blessings of his time at Lodi Academy. And since Ira is back home, I thought there would be no better way than to share with you and let Ira just tell you what he told her. So Ira Heinzen, if you would come up and share with us the connection you made in Shelton, Washington over a year ago with another graduate of Lodi Academy.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Brown. I always called the principal by the name Brother. I knew Mr. Burbawi, and he's the one that first contacted my family and allowed me to go to your school. It made such a difference in my life. When I got kicked out of the football team at Bear Creek, my life began to go in all, you know, the worst directions you can imagine. And it was my sophomore year. I was very vulnerable. I didn't have much faith in Christ, and my parents saw that things were kind of getting out of hand. You know, the binding was unwinding, and so they decided to give me a chance in a different school. And they searched all over the area, and I don't just mean area. I mean, we have family in Utah and in other parts of Southern California. We were looking for a place to transplant me so that I could get my feet back on the ground and not completely fall apart. Well, Mother, after looking forever, endlessly, found this small little school in Lodi that we just it had not occurred to us before to look that close. We thought we had assumed that we had found all the centers to look to previously. We contacted Mr. Burbawi, and he came to our home and he talked to us. And I remember looking at my parents when he first came. I said, Mom, there's something special about this place. Can I please go? Finances were tight. But thanks to the Lord, certain things occurred that allowed me to go. That was the best time of my life. That changed the direction of where I was headed, of what I was going to do. I gained goals. I gained motivation, vision to proceed in life in a good direction. I gained faith. Every single morning, I heard about how much God loves us and how much the Savior cares about us and how his atoning sacrifice can save us all. After many conversations with Mr. Ross, the religion teacher, we still had some disagreements on some things. but I respected him, and he respected, I think, the likenesses that we had. I served a mission for my church for 2 years. I was on bike for 2 years. I don't look like it, but I was. I was, honestly. And the likelihood, I just have to paint a picture for you, the likelihood that I would ever meet an alumni randomly from my school, my home, which it's sure great, good to be back again after 3 years, is almost impossible. It's just infinitesimally small. There were about 17,000 people over 24 months that I spoke to, knocking doors and getting rejected over and over again. But there's also friendly people too. It rains a lot, so you know they talk about Southern hospitality. Well, there's Northwest hospitality up there. They let you on. Oh, boys, we don't want to hear your message. Just come on in. You look pathetic. Get in here. And you look terrible. Let's dry you up. And it does rain all the time there. It really does. But I was knocking one day, and I was feeling kind of pathetic. I was in Shelton, a small town of 10,000, just for 6 weeks, because that's how long we're assigned. Everything was going wrong. I think I had a flat tire that day, so it's going to be a long walk back home. My companion and I, we were soaked. We were drenched. Sometimes you're lucky to get someone to talk to. Sometimes you're not, and you just have to keep on going. And I mean, you know it's going to end, but when you still have 12 months more of that, if any of you, I encourage you all to ask a more missionary. Just take them off by guard and ask them, how do you feel about serving for 2 years? Is it hard? You know, turn the tables on them, and you might get a little tear or two. But it was hard, and I knocked on this door in a cul-de-sac in some obscure part of the forest, because everyone lives in, you know, the trees there. And this lady, this very friendly lady, came to the door. And you know, I've noticed, I'm convinced of this, that Adventists are the friendliest people in the world, because for 2 years, I had more warm welcomes from members of your faith than I did from any others. And I noticed that. I kept track of that. And I just had the hunch, you know what, I think this lady's an Adventist. She's not kicking us out, or at least she hasn't done in a mean way. I mean, we are bugging her at dinner time, but she's very friendly. And so I asked her, what religion are you? And she said, I'm an Adventist. And I'm like, oh, really? Do you know a school called Lodi Academy? She's like, oh, certainly, I went there. I graduated in 1965. I'm like, oh, great, a friend. My companion had no idea what I was talking about. You know, he was from Utah. He has no, what other, Adventists? Come on, they had no idea that anything else existed beyond Provo, you know, in Mormonism. Whereas I had just met instantly a fellow Christian who opened the door, allowed me to walk in. We spoke for 45 minutes. It was my companion who I was with at the time that told me we had to go. I would have stayed for hours. We'd have just kept talking. She dried us off, fed us, sent us on our way. I went back to thank her again for that experience, and to just thank her more on a personal note, to thank her for supporting Adventist education. It changed my life for the better. It your church, your school system brings out the best in kids, and it's because it's Christ-centered. You know, he's the one that brings out the best in all of us. And there's a saying that goes in the LDS faith from yours truly, the Book of Mormon, but it goes something like this. When you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. And I just appreciate everything that you've done, every single one of you, for every time you've supported Adventist education. You've changed lives. Your reach is beyond, you know, just here. The Heavenly Father has a plan for each and every one of his children that goes to your schools, and he helps them. He sustains them, and it's through faith in God that gives them that strength. So thank you so much. I appreciate for your help, and continue to support that blessed school. Thank you.
I think what needs to be said has been said. We're getting ready to start. The teachers will all be in school at 8 o'clock this coming Monday morning and all this week in preparation. And students will show up a week from Monday, and we'll be starting another year. The greatest thing you can do for us is to remember us in your prayers. God's power is the thing that makes it happen at our schools. It's what we depend on every day. When we start the day with worship and ask God to put his angels around our school to keep the devil away and to help happen on campus with every student what needs to happen, that's what it's all about for us. So please continue as you have faithfully. Continue your prayers for our students, our school, and if you know of students that still need to come, we can still work with them. If you feel a burden to help some of those families who are not going to be able to have their kids back, that's the great burden of my heart that concerns me. And thank you to all of you who have supported Student Aid in the past, putting in a little bit every month. If you would be interested in sponsoring a student to help, we don't give a free ride to anybody, but we will require the family to do as much as possible, and then we require the students to work as well. But we have students that ought to be at the school this year who need help. So again, we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your interest. Thank you, Ira, for taking time out of your day to come and share what God has done in your life through our school. And I'd invite you to bow your heads with me as we close with prayer. Father God, every day when we wake up, it's because of your grace and your blessing in our lives. And the privilege we have of serving you and experiencing your love every day, and the surprises you drop in our lives, we thank you for being such an awesome God. And we just ask now that as we start another school year, that you will be there with us, stand by our sides, prompt us to be and do and say those things that need to be said. Bring us those students that we can make a difference with and that need to be there. Provide for us what is necessary for everyone who wants to have an Adventist education to be able to avail themselves of that. And we look forward to your soon coming when we can enjoy eternity together and share together all the goodness that you have shared with us on this earth and the times when you have been instrumental in our lives in drawing us closer to you. May our students and staff draw closer as this coming year begins, and may we as a congregation draw close together too in preparation for your soon coming. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.